Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are we this fine morning?
We are fine, fine indeed. Look at the sun.
Yeah.
So nice. Look, it's blue. I thought the sky was gray. I've forgotten.
Yeah, I know. We go outside and we go, ah, what's that yellow light?
What is it?
It hurts my eyes.
No, it's so lovely.
Yeah, it has been. So interestingly, you were just on as a guest of Trevor and Brent's.
I was.
And you were doing something that we are talking about today.
Yes.
The art of public speaking.
Public speaking.
Although you couldn't really see an audience. A big part of public speaking.
Yes.
Is interacting with your audience. Mm-hmm. But you were absolutely speaking on behalf of a group, and you were speaking from your heart, mm-hmm. and you were speaking your opinion and ideas and knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Although I did break some of the rules.
Oh, already we've broken rules.
I know. Uh-oh. I was not prepared.
Yeah, well, that's what Trevor and Brent do, right? They come in when we're getting ready and say, hey, do you want to come in and talk about that?
Yeah. So that's one of the rules is prepare, practice, rehearse.
Yes. Well, the art of public speaking is a big, it's a lot bigger than people think it is. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger part of our world, a bigger part of our, the way that we communicate as a society. We think it's something separate that's really only something special.
Only
people
for
do.
Some people. Mm-hmm. But we all do it,
we all do it.
Well, even when you say, please, sir, how much is the bus? That's kind of a form of public speaking.
It is.
You're engaging a stranger in a conversation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the very beginnings
of public speaking.
Yeah.
Okay, but first. Do you remember the first time you had to
stand up and make a speech?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in grade five.
Grade five?
Yeah.
For your...
I was in a play, and I had to be the narrator first.
Wow.
Because I think our narrator, you know, was sick or something.
Oh.
And so I had to do both. And stand up in front of the whole audience and narrate from a script that I hadn't read before.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how'd you do?
Memory. I don't know.
No?
I have no idea.
Do you remember being nervous?
Yes.
Yes.
I absolutely remember being nervous. And I remember being mostly concerned that the person that I was in the play with, like I think it was Aladdin or something like that. And I was one of two sort of characters and my other person wouldn't know where I was.
Oh,
that was what
okay.
I was most concerned with.
Yeah. Like you would miss your, they would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how
so
thoughtful.
I don't really remember how I did. I just remember that nervousness.
Huh?
Yeah. How about you?
You know, I don't really remember. There were a couple little things in grade school. I remember thinking, I hope they like me, or, you know, some sort of...
Like Sally Fields?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, but I did want to point out, I had a grade 10 French teacher, and he was genius at helping us public speak. And what he would do is at the beginning of every lesson, he would make us stand up. And you couldn't sit down till you answered a question correctly.
Wow.
So it was, he taught us how to think on our feet.
Yeah,
and
literally.
Literally. And so I think after that I was okay.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's a great
idea. And so,
because
the motivation to not be the last one standing really, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It sort of overcame the fear of public. Like I would be less afraid to speak in public than to be the last one standing.
Yeah.
Right? So I kind of got rid of, I've never, ever had a problem since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was brilliant.
Yeah. And I know the grade sevens right now are doing their discours in French immersion. My son is a train wreck. Sorry, dude. You know it's true. and it's important. They need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Although they need to memorize, which I'm not sure.
Well, you see, I know there's a difference there, right? The memorization is a whole different thing because, like, I'm going to do a quick reference here to Dale Carnegie,
the king
of public speaking.
That's right, which takes us back to excellent segue, excellent.
Yes, yes. Well, except we could have gone even further back.
Okay.
But the thing about that Dale Carnegie taught was that there is no standards of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
There is really no training you can take that makes you an excellent public speaker. It is the knowledge and your heart and your feelings and your thoughts about a subject that make it worthy of public utterance.
Yes.
And so memorization doesn't fit into
it doesn't
that.
Really make it worthy of public utterance.
It doesn't.
Yes.
So he had a lot of wonderful things to say about public speaking, but essentially it was all about self-development.
Wow. Yeah.
You just know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And then it'll all come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, let's go further back.
Okay,
though.
So let's go further. Is that like
into ancient times here? So ancient Greece,
Romans. Now, yeah. What is that? Lend me your ears.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Well, and this is the beginnings of democracy.
Oh wow!
Public gatherings. Yes. Where there would be public debate, mm-hmm. and you would like it was integral to everyone's lives. Mm-hmm. Public speaking was part of how you practiced democracy. So it was everybody. Everybody was practicing public speaking all the time. We've kind of moved a little away from that in our democratic world here.
Well, but it reminds me, in the States, I think it's in the House of Representatives, you can just submit your written speech. You don't actually have to say it.
What?
Yeah.
Well, what a cop-out.
I know. And then they, and the total opposite of that is you can filibuster. And like one guy talked for 15 hours one day.
Yeah. Which I think is hilarious, actually. I mean, like, our parliamentary rules are so bizarre.
Yeah. Not in Canada, you could never talk that long.
Yeah.
Because there's time limits. But in the States, is this guy filibustered for...
Really? We don't have that in
I don't
Canada?
Think you couldn't... Not a single speaker could talk for 15 hours.
Because I thought we did have a thing like that.
Oh, you can filibuster, but it just... it's not necessarily a person. It can be a party.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Still,
but then they can call the question, like, there's always ways around it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very strategic.
Yeah.
But it is a giant public speech.
It is.
Isn't it?
And also, you don't really realize, like, all those government people are all public speaking all the time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just look around. There's people public speaking everywhere. Mm-hmm. Teachers are public speaking every day.
And some teachers are nervous about public speaking. Isn't that funny? I just find that funny.
Yeah. But you know what I think the key is?
Yes.
Is the part, one of the Dale Carnegie tips is know your audience.
Yes.
And the teachers know their audience.
Yes.
They're these wonderful little creatures that they love and
of course.
And feel like their little family. So the comfort level is high. Mm-hmm. And you don't ever feel like, oh yeah, see, that's another thing too, is there's lots of tips for people who feel awkward mm-hmm. in social situations, tips for them to public speak. And one of the things is just get over the fact that people are judging you.
Yes.
Because they're not.
Well, it's a little bit of conceit.
Yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
So people who say, well, I'm really insecure and I'm not comfortable public speaking. But if you really look at the core of that, it's insecurity, but it's also conceit. Hmm. You're overly worried about what people think of you.
Yeah.
Who's to say they're even going to give a hoot,
know? Well, that's the thing you're supposed to know is people don't care.
Yeah. And it's not like they,
they're there to be entertained.
Yes. And they also don't know they don't know what you had envisioned in your mind. I mean, you talked about that last week. The big show, if something goes wrong.
People don't know what it was supposed to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. So often public speakers will say, oh, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Or, I didn't mean to say that. And I think, no, don't do that. No. Don't do that. Don't
Because that just makes everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually is one of my pet peeves is when people start by apologizing.
Yeah.
And even in the very small
scale. I'm sorry,
scale,
I didn't have my notes together.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, as soon as somebody says that, I'm just like, well, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not listening anymore.
Well, yeah, because the level of engagement. And what they're saying is, well, I didn't really prepare,
so
if you don't pay attention, that's just fine with me.
Well, it means you don't matter as an audience, right? You don't matter because I didn't really, mm-hmm. And actually, there's been a couple of instances where, like, artists at the gallery who shall remain nameless.
Yes, yes.
It's been over many years, so it's okay.
It happens
where
everywhere.
I ask artists to say a few words on opening night. It's part of their contract. We talk about it usually early on. And then on opening night, I'll come to them sometime and say, okay, I'm going to do my opening remarks. So, mm-hmm. If you'll come up and have a few words, they're like, what? I have to say something? Mm-hmm. And I say, well, yeah, we did talk about this like 6 months ago, but whatever. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it's only 1 minute. Don't worry. You don't have to do much. It's just kind of thanks for coming kind of a thing. And then some artists will start their thing with, Tracy just told me 5 minutes ago I was supposed to say something. So then I look like an idiot. They look like an idiot.
Yeah.
The audience is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So what does that serve?
Yeah.
It doesn't serve anything.
No. Well, yeah.
So I just want to make a point out there in the universe. Never apologize.
No. Just embrace it.
Yeah.
Embrace the opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
People just want to, right?
Yeah. And you're supposed to start.
It's a bit like going into a coffee shop and saying, I'm sorry, I didn't really have time for coffee this morning. Would it be okay if you made me a cup of coffee? Well, that's what we're here for. Yes. Like, yes. Go ahead. Place your order. Right?
So you're holding up the line.
It's just how, exactly, you're holding up the line. It's just how we look at a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So maybe I really think that if we worried less about what the audience thought of us and worried more about what the audience could benefit, what the benefit to the audience would be, part of that would sort of dissipate.
Yes.
Right?
It's yeah.
like you have a job to do.
Yeah. And never worry about people judging you. Never worry about how, like, what people think of you, because they don't.
No.
They're too busy thinking about themselves.
Exactly.
And one of the really great hints is to start your public speaking as though you were starting a quiet conversation.
Nice.
Yeah. So you never start by shouting.
No.
Attention! You
listen
start
to me.
You start with...
So Roman, countryman, whatever that expression, I mean, it might not have been the best way to start.
Yeah.
Lend me your ears.
Well,
who said that?
I mean, maybe...
Charlton Heston.
No. I don't know. But it's just a good Caesar. Kind of hint, because it keeps you in the frame of,
yes.
this is... I'm among friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always what I've thought about. When I'm at the gallery and I open every exhibition with my opening remarks, and
right.
I've got a group of about anywhere from 50 to 100 people staring at me.
Yes.
I remember that I'm among friends.
Yes.
When you look at your audience and you know that all of those people just wish you success.
Yeah, well, why would they be there?
Well, that's right. What
Yeah.
Only a, like I think Dale Carnegie even said, only a fool wants to waste his time listening to somebody who has nothing to say.
Mm.
So all those people just want to learn something.
Even if it's contentious. Like sometimes things can be contentious, but they're there out of a sense of engagement and they want the information. And
Yeah. So start as a quiet conversation.
Yes, a quiet conversation. That's
welcome.
How we start every show.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Welcome.
Yeah.
And so nice to see you.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
And nice to see you as well. And thank you for coming as well. So I it's so interesting. And I think we thought about this topic because the Oscars were on on Sunday night. And sometimes it shocks me that the finest professionally trained actors in the world cannot wing it. They can't stand up and right.
Yeah. But you know what? There's hints for Oscar acceptance speeches.
Yes.
Well, hints. They're basically rules.
Rules. Okay.
Like number one, have an agenda.
Yeah.
Right. Like have a cause.
Mm-hmm.
What are you there for? What are you really there for? What are you going to use that moment to make a statement or what? Right. And number two, prioritize your thank yous so that if you run out of time and the orchestra starts to play, that you've already thanked the most important people and the other ones are just gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you prioritize your thank yous. Make sure that you're presented well. Like there was a little comment about
like
the lady who accepted
nice?
The award for best hairstyling or something, like hairstyles in movies.
Hairstyle?
Yeah, there's a hairstylist sort of category.
Oh, you mean costume and
hair design, maybe?
No, I don't think
anyway,
hair design.
Apparently she arrived up on the podium with her hair looking like she threw it up in a quick bun and stuck a pencil in it. And so everybody's looking at her going, seriously,
Wait,
won
you
the
just
award
won for
hairstyle?
I don't know if it's hair... No, it's styling. I don't think it's hair design. We'll find out.
Yeah. So anyway, make sure that you're presentable.
Well,
in
make
the
sure your message
field
matches
exactly,
because you are your message.
You kind of
how
are.
You
and
look and
and it's not about the judging
yourself.
Thing, right? Like it's not about people judging how you look. Is your dress pretty enough? Is your shoes awesome
no?
Enough?
It's appropriate.
It's appropriate to your topic.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Right.
Yeah. So make sure you're presented well. So those are some big hints for the Oscar acceptance speeches.
But I don't think they give them a little training.
No.
No, I think they should give them a little training.
They should be.
That's right.
Yeah, we're kind of going a little bit by Dale Carnegie standards. This guy started training people in 1908.
And it's the Toastmasters Club, right?
Right.
It's still happening every week in Salmon Arm. There's a Toastmaster or month.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think the key to a group like that is continued attendance, because practice is really the only thing that makes you better at public speaking.
Absolutely. Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah. And it's just like piano. Like when people tell me all the time, oh, you're, you know, this, whatever, I'm complimenting my painting or something. I can't draw a stick figure.
I know.
And
I do
think,
that.
Well, but I mean, why would you think you could suddenly be able to draw or paint without practice? Like I would never think I could sit down and play the piano without taking lessons and practicing.
That's true.
So why would you think you could just draw?
I don't. Maybe it's a an escape clause. I don't know, right?
I don't know.
It's very true.
Yeah.
People always, clients or new clients will often come to the office and start by apologizing. I'm sorry. I really don't know much about this stuff. And I always say, good.
That's
and they
why
look at me like, what? Good, because if you did, you wouldn't be here. Right?
Right.
And I wouldn't have much work to do if everybody knew everything.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know why we are so apologetic.
No.
I wonder if that's just a Canadian thing or...
Well, why do we expect to be good at things when we try it for the first time? Mm-hmm. And why do we think that if we fear it, it means we're not good at it?
I don't know.
That's another whole thing.
Mm-hmm. You could write a speech just on that.
Right? I think people have.
Yeah.
The fear of public speaking is really just a...
It's right up there with spiders.
Well, do you think so?
Yes.
It's so interesting.
I'm sure there's a Latin word for it. Fear of public speaking.
Like a, stand up a phobia.
Yeah, stand up a phobia. Talkophobia.
Talkophobia. Yeah. We'll go with that. But it's the same thing with spiders. If you just realize
arachnophobia.
That,
I knew that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you just realize that spiders are your friends, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. think of all the wonderful things that spiders do for us, like eat other bugs.
Chew.
Yeah. And icky worms that eat our apples and stuff like that.
Mm.
And that when
I'm not afraid of spiders.
Yeah. Well, and then if you live with them, like if you see them frequently and you've actually picked one up in a dustpan and taken it outside and released it into the wild.
Free. Be free.
Then after a while, you don't really fear them.
No.
You're just like, oh, that poor little spider's trapped in my house.
Well, I always try to pretend I'm the spider. So my kids will be like, mom, there's a spider. And I'm like, okay, look at how big you are. And look at how, I said, that would be like you being the Empire State Building being, or the CN Tower being afraid of you.
Mm. They get that. Yeah.
You have to put things in perspective.
Absolutely.
Right? It's just a speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a little, like lots of practice can be small practice.
Yes.
You never have to stand up in front of a gymnasium full of people in order to face your fear.
Well, that certainly wouldn't be the first step.
No.
No. Talk to yourself in the mirror.
That's right. Well, practicing involves, like, especially if you have to give a speech to a large group of people that you're not used to doing, practice in front of the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Practice your whole speech.
Yes.
Read it out. Make sure you can pronounce all the words.
All the words.
Names.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you get names pronounced correctly.
Yes.
I think everybody learned from the John Travolta fiasco last year. Mm. And then that uncomfortable, sticky, icky apology sort of thing he did. It was so awful.
But then this year he put his hands on her face.
Yeah, what was that all
I don't
about?
Know. I'm not sure. I would rather he mispronounce my name.
And it was like, you could just see that she was just like, get away.
I don't know what he's going to do next year.
I really,
maybe that's his strategy.
Well, I hope he just keeps his hands behind his back. Yes. For one thing.
Something.
It was really awkward.
Yeah, that was a bit awkward. Or they also say to talk to yourself in your car.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we sing in the car. Does that count?
Yeah, sure. Even sometimes I sing in the car.
Yeah.
If I'm by myself, though.
Yeah.
Although I did read this week that everybody can learn to sing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm so sure. I often apologize. I'm a terrible singer. Don't make me sing.
That's right, because we talked about the national anthem.
I always do that. But then I read, if you had the proper... Singing in front of people would freak me out.
Yeah.
But talking, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, no problem so far.
But it's because you think your skill level isn't there, right?
I know my skill level.
So what would happen if you practiced?
Exactly.
Yeah. You would improve. Confidence would improve.
I would improve.
Yeah. Mm. So it would come. It would eventually be like you'd be standing up there leading the national anthem.
Watch out, American Idol or Canadian Idol.
Yeah,
do they even do those? Are terrible shows anyway.
I don't know. Do we have a Canadian Idol?
We did at one point, but I don't think it got renewed.
Yeah, well, because we're not very big into celebrity here.
No.
You know, we don't really do that.
Yeah, and I don't think we care as much about gossip either.
Yeah.
Right?
No, we don't. We're kind of involved with our own little communities quite a lot and focus on real things.
Like people's family lives are not the subject of tabloid.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
And I'm sure there's all kinds of funny business going on over there at Parliament Hill. Right?
Yeah, I hear rumors.
Sure.
But I don't care.
I mean, it's a small town. It's like our town.
Yeah.
Probably.
But I don't, I mean,
well,
who
maybe
cares?
Not. Maybe more like Enderby. There's like 5,000 people on Parliament Hill. I guarantee you there's some.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But for me, way out here in running my own little world, no, I don't care.
I
can't give that kind of energy to gossip and just all the, knowing everybody's business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my interest.
No, it's none of our business.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So we
and that's the other thing about public speaking is if it is your business, know your business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, become an expert. It's okay to become a one-day expert.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to I mean, you do not have to only public speak in your field because you've been in it for 30 years and you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You can choose to research something in one day.
Absolutely.
So that you can give a talk on it.
Yes.
And it's because it's all fresh in your mind. Mm-hmm. Never be afraid to do research.
No, absolutely not.
In fact, and we do it every week.
Every week we do. Thank goodness for Wikipedia.
Yeah.
No. But the other thing, to strike that really careful balance between knowing it all and being a know-it-all.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody likes a know-it-all.
No.
And yet nobody wants to go, well, I sort of kind of think that it's sort of kind of like this because maybe this.
Yeah. And right? I heard somewhere.
Yeah.
Or I think I read somewhere.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere. Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
Not exactly credible.
No.
Right.
It is an art form to not only know your stuff, but to remember where you learned it, because that was the only way toward credibility.
Exactly.
Is to
according
be able to cite
to
your
Statistics
references.
Canada.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well,
over 10,000 books can be are according published to in
Statistics Canada anymore because that's we right. can't rely on it without the long form census. But that's another story.
Oh, the long form. Okay, that's the art of counting. That's next time we're going to do the art of counting.
Well, I have to do way more research for that.
Okay. But you didn't say, I'm sorry, I don't really like numbers very much. You
yeah,
didn't
that's
say
right.
That, right? Well, a lot of people said, I'm sorry, numbers are just not my thing.
Oh, no. I'd rather say, just give me a few days so I'll do my research.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let me find that information for you.
Well, and that's exactly what we talked about, like when we did the tourism seminar last week with Shoe Swap Tourism and TOTA, sort of revisioning the priorities of the tourism organizations. Mm-hmm. That we talked about community ambassadors, and we don't all have to know everything there is to know about our community,
no.
but we do have to be able to properly present ourselves to a visitor and say, absolutely, there's lots of things to do in Salmon Arm.
Let me get that information for you.
Or I know that you can get it at Shoe Swap Tourism or the Visitor Center. If you go to the Visitor Center in person or if you go to the Shoe Swap Tourism site, all that information is there. It's all about knowing to say how I don't know.
Very good skills.
Yeah.
And they're like such practical advice.
It is.
Right?
It's easy too. Like you don't have to know everything.
No.
You just have to know where to find it.
And you know what? Newsflash, you will never know everything.
Yeah.
Oh, you know anything, you know you hardly know a thing.
That's right.
Right? All you ever learn is how little you know. That's the truth.
That's what I know for sure.
Yeah. That's what I'm putting on my tombstone. All you ever learn is how little you know. And so the other thing, the other balance I think people should try and strike is to be less afraid of how the audience is going to react to you.
Right.
So it's almost like we misplace our anxiety. So we worry so much about what the audience is going to think that we don't do a very good job of delivering them a product that they will appreciate.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So like get over yourself, go out there and give them good information.
Yeah.
You know, really have, cause I've been an audience member at many, presentations, mm-hmm. You know, at council is one big, public speaking / presentation.
Yeah.
You go to conferences for your work, or we've been to conferences for the arts, or mm-hmm. I really get my knickers in a knot when I feel like the speaker hasn't thought about me.
Yeah.
You have given no thought to what I might need or what I might take away from this. You might feel better about how much of a smarty pants you are, but you haven't addressed it, right? You haven't applied that to your audience.
Yeah.
Right? So know your audience is so important.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's okay to interact with your audience.
Oh,
I think there's some people that think that you just got to stand up there behind your podium
and
just
click
exalt
that.
Your wonderfulness.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. We'll deal with
we'll
the technology
with
thing
later.
After the break. But
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
When you're so full of yourself that you think you are the only person, like that you're still in the bathroom looking in the mirror, that's a problem.
Yeah. Don't be broccoli. Right? Broccoli's good for you, but nobody likes it. Be broccoli with cheese sauce. Like, do something that's like, ooh, it was a really, you know, good for healthy vegetable,
can
but
you
it
just,
was so good.
Can you tweet that? Don't be broccoli.
I will tweet that. And sometimes I think, I'm not broccoli. Hello.
Yeah, for sure. So you can engage your audience. You can even, if you're ever in a situation where you think you're not even speaking about the right thing for your audience,
yes.
ask your audience.
Yes.
You can say, I'm I'm here to talk about such and such, but here we are standing in the such and such. Would you like me to talk about this?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's okay.
Yes. Tell me what matters to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's in it for you?
Yeah.
Right? What would be a win? Who's that marketing guru in the States? I don't see him as much anymore. Danny. He's like on a first name basis. He used to be on CNN. And his line was, what's a win for you?
Huh.
Right? And so you have to phrase everything that you do, and what's a win for the client, what's a win for you as a firm, what's a win for the consumer, and you really need to, you know, it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. And it's okay to ask questions of your audience?
Yes.
Throughout?
Totally.
Yeah. Because audience engagement, I mean.
Especially if you get the morning slot. Like if you present at a conference and you're first up, you had better find something seriously engaging, because how many of us have sort of slumped at the round tables waiting, please. Oh, can't, what is it, break time yet? Right?
Yeah.
If you just say to them, how about everybody stand up?
Yeah. Right? It's really simple.
Or one time they took the tables away.
Oh.
Right? They just shook it up enough to be like, wait, what just happened here?
Yeah.
I got nothing to lean on. I can't kind of hide behind my phone.
Yeah. You can't smile like
doodle. I have to pay attention.
Wow.
Right? So that you have to challenge your audience to pay attention.
Yeah.
I make my students stand up we have a 3-hour class, and every sort of 40 minutes I say, okay, just get up.
Yeah.
And they look at me like, what? I'm like, it's not good for you to sit so long. Get up. I don't care what you do. Just stand up and sit down again.
Yeah.
You know, because you watch them fade like they.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the difference between public speaking and a lecture, right? In public speaking, you have to pretend to be awake. In a lecture, you can adequately
actually
fall asleep.
Yeah, it's true. And I unfortunately have to give them a lecture, but
yeah,
I try not to do lecture too much, but
yeah. But that's another hint that goes back to the how to sort of start your public speaking, and that is to pause at the beginning of your public speaking and look over your audience, like really look them over, see who you're talking to. Like that's another way of interacting with them,
right?
Really.
And eye contact.
Yeah, like I can tell you, during that little hockey incident that I had last week.
Yes, yes, yes.
I looked up and I could see Jeanette Clement in the audience, and I'm like, okay, I could be okay.
Focus.
Here.
Yes,
I know that it's just Jeanette's,
just
a whole bunch of Jeanettes out
exactly.
there,
exactly.
Right? And it was all okay.
Yeah.
So if you find one person that you identify with that you know is lovely and wishes you well, that you can make yourself feel like okay. It's, you know, it's just, it's just these lovely people.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yay, Jeanette.
Yeah, I know. She's really, she was so excited.
Oh,
I just love seeing all the
that's
people.
Right. So you were on at center ice with a puck and a stick trying to get it.
I got the autograph in my program that lets you shoot for $1,000 ASCUS gift card.
Oh, wow.
I totally didn't do it, but it was awful for those first few moments when I had to walk out taking baby steps on the ice.
Yes.
And I just desperately didn't want to fall on my arse. That was the most important thing. And then seeing Jeanette was the thing. And it was just like public speaking.
Yeah,
right?
It was a public spectacle. Like, I would have said no thank you. I would have given someone else the program, but I'm chicken that way.
So, I heard that from a few people afterwards. So it's good. Oh,
okay.
And that brings me to another point. The reason that I didn't chicken out on that hockey thing is because...
Yeah, I was so proud of you because you texted me and I was like, OMG.
And
I don't know about this. I really don't know about this.
I've never shot a puck in my life. Just saying. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, it did occur to me. It's like, oh, I could hand this to my husband and we'd be set.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, I mean,
probably could have auctioned it.
He hasn't shot a puck in 30 years either. So, whatever. Anyway, I remembered the thing about put yourself in front of an audience as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
It eases all of your public speaking fears when you are put in that situation more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I didn't have to say anything, I didn't have to really do much.
But
I mean,
did have to perform
well,
in a way, right?
But I think that in the same situation, like all those people, except Kevin Flynn, who was thinking in his head, like, why doesn't she do a wrist shot?
That's funny.
You know?
Well, Kevin's a great sport and he likes to, you know, he's a good coach. He likes to give tips.
Which
we all help.
I wish I had it before.
Yeah,
that's
I know,
all.
Right?
But I just mean everybody else in the audience is just thinking like, where's my French fries?
Yes.
And like, you know, they don't care about
exactly.
me out there. So they're not. It was only me worrying about that. They cared about me, but they didn't.
Right.
But the interesting thing was lots of people did come up to me afterwards and say, oh, I never would have done that. You're so brave.
You're so brave.
So
I think you're brave too.
Well, thanks. It really was nothing.
Ooh.
I didn't win. That's too bad.
But you won because you tried.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And if the only person who went out there and shot and won, it wouldn't be much of a contest,
yeah,
now, would it?
Yeah.
Right? No. It's true. Part of the spectacle, yeah, of the thing.
The spectacle.
Yes.
So speaking of spectacles.
Ooh, spectacles.
Well, let's just go into the technology part of this, because technology changed public speaking.
Yes.
Immensely. Like, we've got things like webinars. Where some guy stands
podcasts.
Up in a suit on the top half of his body, and he's in his underwear on the bottom,
yeah, I'm
half
sure
of his
he is.
Body, or his, doing his, a webcam, mm-hmm, sort of lecture.
Or his rabbit bunny slippers, or
yeah,
who knows, right?
Who knows what's going, yes, on under there? Maybe don't want to know. But the point is the internet changed the way that we, mm-hmm, talk to each other in terms of public speaking.
Yes.
And one of those big changes was the dreaded PowerPoint.
Dun, dun, dun. That should have been the dramatic
one. No kidding. I hate that thing.
Yeah, we do. We do tend to, well, sometimes we think technology will help, and more often than not, that is the case. But I must say, didn't we read something about PowerPoint wastes like 3 billion working hours a year or something?
Something.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's got lots of facets of waste.
Yes.
Like, it's got power, wasting power, mm-hmm, first of all, because these machines, all these extra machines have to be used, mm-hmm, rather than just listening to someone who's engaging.
Yes.
I'm going to, which is fairly carbon neutral, right?
I'm going to use technology to prove that technology is wasteful. How about that?
Okay. 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 And then the number of minutes, maybe even hours, probably days, weeks, and months, and years wasted trying to get the technology to work.
Mm.
How many speakers' times have been used up trying to get their stupid thing to work, and then they never get it to work, and they've got 8 people up there pulling, yeah, cords and trying buttons, and, oh, let's try this, let's try that. And the audience is sitting there going, I could be working. Like, I could be at my office getting something done.
Mm-hmm. So that's all about be prepared.
Yeah.
Right? Which they teach you in Girl Guides.
But it's really hard to be prepared when you're showing up to be a keynote speaker and you've got your little laptop and you're supposed to plug into their equipment,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden nothing fits.
I know.
Right? Like, it's really, it's challenging.
But so, it is planning, you know?
Yeah.
Some people just don't plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's unfortunate, because I think you have a, well, maybe sacred is kind of a strong word, but a sacred relationship with the audience.
Yeah.
Right? It's your job. You can't say, oh, well, I was going to give you a PowerPoint, but I can't get the thing to work. Right? Again, you're already starting off on a...
Yeah.
So if the PowerPoint doesn't work, don't apologize for it. Just be prepared enough that you
be
can do
be prepared
without.
To... Exactly. Yeah. And there was a horror story of a guy that couldn't get his... He was only given 3 minutes to speak.
Yes.
And he couldn't get his PowerPoint to work. He spent the whole 3 minutes trying to get it to work. And he had to leave the stage with his, you know, bundle of things without having said a thing. And that was his, you know, that was his sort of worst public speaking moment.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, well, okay, wait a minute. I get it if you're the only guy trying to plug things in and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got other guys trying to plug it in and make things work, then you should be the one to start talking,
mm-hmm,
and start presenting.
Yes.
And be engaging and get your audience
and take
excited
charge.
About your topic.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You have to take charge. Yeah. I mean, I've had those presentations too where the thing doesn't work, but you know, if you know your topic, you can
easily adapt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And one of my worst pet peeves that makes me crazy,
yes,
is when people present a PowerPoint that's working and they read off their slides.
Yeah.
Like as if we're all illiterate,
yeah,
and can't read.
Well, I'll call that right away. I think that's a cop-out.
Yeah.
I do.
Don't you have another term for this?
What? Oh, death by PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
And I have been, yeah, you're like, I guess I'm like a cat. I have 9 lives. There have been a couple presentations and, you know, high level presentations in conferences that are expensive and you travel a long way for. And I really found that, excuse me, I'm hungry.
Is that
that's
your
stomach?
I can hear it. I'm thinking, is there an airplane flying overhead?
and it shocks me.
Yeah.
Because some of these speakers... You know,
I know, and they're probably
very well
paid.
Compensated,
yes,
for their time.
Yes.
And I just feel disappointed. On the other hand, I think a good PowerPoint, you know, is, I mean, if you're going to do a PowerPoint, do it right.
Yeah.
And make it engaging and fun and colorful and rehearse, right?
Yeah.
And don't read off it.
No.
No.
And so provide as little text as possible,
yes,
on each slide, mostly photos.
Yes.
Mostly support material,
mm-hmm,
right?
Engaging. You know, you want to be engaging. I think humor is great. You know, that's how we relate to each other.
Mm-hmm. Humor is good.
Absolutely.
Inject a few jokes.
Absolutely.
And even, I'm
and
just,
don't worry about the joke failing. Like,
yeah,
they, if they, maybe they don't know it's a joke, move on. It's yeah. okay. But
don't allow time for laughter.
No. Yeah. Just keep moving. Keep yeah. moving. But death by PowerPoint is just, I don't know. I really feel like, where we fail sometimes, well, quite often, I think, to embrace the real opportunity for engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So even if you had less stats and fewer slides, but you really made a connection with your audience, totally worth it.
Yeah.
Right. Do you remember, who would you say is the best speaker you've ever seen?
Oh, that guy, that we saw at the Art Summit.
Yes.
Charles something.
Oh, from the States?
I thought he was from the East, but was he even Nova Scotia? Maybe he was. I don't know. He spoke about, remember the different levels of arts engagement, the mm-hmm. sort of the ambient all the way to the
oh, yeah,
creative?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy was great.
He was great.
I mean, I've heard other speeches that have been very emotional mm-hmm. and wonderful. I just mean that guy did the best presentation using a PowerPoint without yes. reading off a PowerPoint,
right.
but actually using it as excellent source material mm-hmm. by which we could listen and look at the material and yeah, really...
Because it's meant to reinforce.
Yes.
So if you can get information in more than one way, right? In more than one sense.
Yeah.
So if you see it visually, hear it, you know, if you see it and hear it, mm-hmm. Even better, touch it, smell it, right?
Yeah.
Taste it. That would be the ultimate opportunity to
yeah.
transfer information from one brain to another brain.
Right.
Right. So that's probably why food shows are so so big, right?
Yeah.
So
if we could only smell it and taste it.
Well, if you see a celebrity chef and they cook something for you, there you go. You see, hear, taste, smell, touch. Oh, and you can shake his hand.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. You're golden, right? But so often in conferences, it's only that one or two, mm-hmm. right? Visual
yeah.
and auditory.
Yeah. So you better make the best of both of them.
Yes. Yeah. Unless you can add another level. That's why it's nice to engage the audience
yeah,
sometimes.
The movement.
Or to give them manipulatives to play with at their
yeah.
table.
Yeah.
I love those kinds of presentations. Yeah. The best speaker I've ever seen is David Foote of Boom Bust and Echo.
Oh yeah.
And he talked, talk about dry topics, demographics.
Yeah.
Right? Population curves.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, boring. Mm-hmm. This guy's a rock star.
Wow.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
And such an overused word. He was, I can't even find the word for how
spectacular.
Spectacular he was.
Fantastic.
How big an impression he made,
oh,
right? And
yeah.
how valuable the information was to me. I still use that information.
Yeah.
So what, and the trick was, A, he knows his stuff upside down, forwards, backwards, inside out, mm-hmm. right? Expert.
Yeah.
And demographics. Second thing is, he's a very humble guy, right? He mm-hmm. knows it all without being a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Third of all, he knew the audience very well. So this was a financial institution conference thing. And he understood who we were. And he went out of his way to figure out where we were from.
Oh.
And at one point, he put up a slide of the population chart in Salmon Arm. And he looked at the audience and he used silence and he said, "What a boring place to be a young person." And everyone went, "What do you mean by that?" And he was right, because the average age here is 48.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's a boring place to be a young person, but based on the demographic, mm-hmm. you know, chart, it's true. There aren't a lot of young people. So his assumption was, because the population is a bit older, say, than Fort St. John, where it's 31 or, you know, what have you, there probably wasn't a lot for young people to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that this is one of our challenges,
mm-hmm.
is to engage young people. Then he said to the people in the audience, "You had better be nice to the grandmas in your community."
Oh, why?
Because,
I mean, I'm sure it's a
right.
Good.
Because if you look at the nice population, it's like an upside down triangle.
Yeah.
And he did men and women, and then he compared us to national
right.
trends. And there's a lot of elder, senior women on their own.
Oh,
and they have
okay.
all the money.
Oh.
Well,
so
and
nice
I don't mean money like
their
under
own.
Their mattress money. They have the greatest, for a financial institution, generally
yeah.
the male partner dies and all the money goes to the wife. And so that your financial planners had better have a good rapport with the grandmas.
Yeah.
So he said, I don't recommend hiring hotshot young Wall Street type men. Mm-hmm. You should have, you know, women, middle-aged women who can relate to the grandmas.
Yeah.
Not exclusively, but make sure that's part of your plan.
Yeah.
In your wealth management. So interesting, right? Yeah. One graph.
Yeah.
And wow. He nailed it. So I emailed him. I went up, shook his hand. I was kind of starstruck. I bought a book. And I think he signed it. And I shook his hand. Too bad I didn't have an iPhone. I would have done a selfie thing. Me and my hero. But I emailed him after and asked him if he wouldn't mind sending me that graph. It's still in my office. I still look at it all the time. And I pointed out to my clients, like, see the upside down pyramid?
Yeah.
What is it telling you?
I've seen that graph.
Yeah,
in
well,
your
that's
office.
From,
That's from him.
That's from him.
Wow. I think it's brilliant information mm-hmm. to have when making any kind of decision in a community, not just marketing, but anything, any long term planning.
And so this one little 25 minute presentation. One spring day in a town far, far away impacted me greatly because, you know, expertise, mm-hmm. humility, humor, funny guy, and manipulative, something else you can take away with you.
Yeah.
Right? It's like speech plus one, I think, is what it has to be.
Yeah.
And one doesn't have to be PowerPoint.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
There can be, there's other visual aids, mm-hmm. other things that are visual that will help make your point without being up on a screen making people go to sleep.
Or use the audience, right? Yeah. Those are also very engaging.
Some people use puppets.
Puppets.
Yeah. I mean, and some people just use, you know, like things that they hold up in the air, like props. And,
yes.
You know, it's just anything visual that breaks up the vocal.
That's true.
Monotony.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't take much to innovate that.
No.
No.
Think about your audience. That's mm-hmm. all. Think about what will keep them engaged. Think about how long it's going to take you to say what you want to say and make sure that it's not long.
Yeah.
Short and sweet is still the important rule. Mm-hmm. And be innovative.
Yeah. It's
have
true.
Fun with it.
Well, I always think it's like inviting someone over for dinner.
Yeah.
Are they going to have fun? Are they going to remember the meal? Will they go away and have had a meaningful experience?
Yeah.
Right?
Did you make a memory?
Exactly. Are they going to come over and have spaghetti in a box, like, you know?
And go home and say, why did I even
why
leave my house?
Why did I go there? What was that about? Okay. Or broccoli.
Oh my God, I had broccoli with no cheese sauce.
Yes, cheese.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, really, when you think about it, the Oscars combines all the arts.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Cinematography, hair.
Yeah.
hair. Costume design.
That's right. So the motion picture itself.
Yes.
Music.
Music.
Set design.
Yes.
You know, so visual arts and.
Yeah. Oh, it was hair writing. And makeup. You're right. It
hair
was hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't put a pencil in your messed up bun if you're accepting an award for hair and makeup.
But that wasn't, that was an undramatic moment.
Yeah, I guess. Right? That's not a dramatic moment. But what I'm saying is that the Oscars embodies the arts.
It's
a little bit over the top.
Oh, yeah.
But, and it's also some people think is finished its purposeness in the world.
Well, it's a pretty exclusive club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a swag bag worth $130,000.
Yes.
That's pretty exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shocking,
anyway.
Really. But there were a couple dramatic moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I love your dramatic moment. You talk about how this fits into our wonderful topic of the day.
I just, you know, that nightmare that everyone taught when they're talking about public speaking. Well, it just seemed to fit today. So they're talking about public speaking and then they have a dream that they do their speech and all they're wearing is their underwear, right? And we always reference that for so. I've never had that dream.
Have you ever had that dream.
But it's always referenced in popular culture.
Yeah.
Right? And so Neil Patrick Harris actually did it. He went on stage in nothing but his white tidy whities and his black socks and his patent leather men's brogues. And I just thought it was such a great thing. It was so brave. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody shares this view, but I'm like, he totally gets our psyche, right? Look, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I came out and speaking to millions of people in my underwear. So it's almost like he's like, I've ruled it out. You don't need to worry yeah. about this anymore.
That's right. It's done. It's yeah. been done. So you don't have to yeah. dream
don't
or
ever,
anything.
Don't ever fret about it.
Yeah. Don't
again.
Never fear because look, I survived.
See,
yeah.
I survived.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Wow. And there were some really funny moments, but there were also some very touching speeches.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were, and this is the thing about having an agenda. It's okay. Like, it's okay to make a joke.
Well, we all have agendas. We just have to admit yeah, that we have yeah. them, I think.
But it's okay to make a joke mm-hmm. and then make a serious statement mm-hmm. in the same 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's okay because yeah. that is your time. When you yeah. get to stand up in front of all those people, and if there's something that's meaningful to you, that is your time to mm-hmm. share it, especially because you know that all those people that have those really wonderful things to say, mm-hmm. meaningful things to say, it's because they've had the personal experience to yes. say it. It's not because they're reading from, oh, this is an organization I support, so I'm just going to read their little statement here. No, somebody says something about suicide or women's equal pay or whatever. It's because they're coming from a place of understanding, knowledge, passion, and
yes.
caring.
Yes.
So it's an important moment for them.
It sure isn't. Patricia Arquette spoke yeah. to women's rights and
yeah.
equality.
Pay equity. Yeah.
And Meryl Streep literally leapt out
yes.
of her chair.
Yeah.
It was so amazing to see. And she was pointing at her like, you got to see that. It's so engaging and
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
And I thought they weren't supposed to do that, but apparently they dropped that rule. Well, it makes for much more dramatic.
Well, how are they ever going to engage the world audience
yeah.
if they're not going to let actors
no.
and actresses say what is meaningful
exactly.
to them?
Exactly. And, you know, holding up a little piece of paper and thanking Harvey Weinstein again is not going to be memorable.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there were really 5 takeaways.
Okay.
Well, 6 with the underwear.
Yeah.
it's okay. You will survive
yes,
if you have
survive.
To make a speech in only your underwear.
Yes. Okay.
The first one was talk to your mom.
Yeah.
Phone your mom,
yeah.
which I thought was
Oh, that was
delightful.
A wonderful thing. If
right?
your parents are still alive.
Phone them.
No, yeah. don't text them. Don't email
yeah.
them. Phone them.
Right? And that was the best supporting actor.
Yeah. That was so meaningful because mm-hmm. you do recognize like, well, for people that I know that have lost their parents have said that. Like, all I wish is I could just
pick up the phone
yeah. and call my mom.
Yeah, I know.
And here we are, we're just living our lives,
uh-huh.
not phoning our moms.
Exactly.
And thinking that's all just because we're busy.
Oh,
we got this, we got
busy,
that.
Very busy.
Yeah, so that was very meaningful.
So it really, you know, he just brought everybody into that one place.
Yeah.
Phone your mom.
Yeah.
I loved it. Then there was the young screenwriter who said that he suffered as a teenager and
yep.
considered suicide.
He attempted suicide.
Yes. And his message was stay weird and stay different.
Yep.
Right?
And then when you're
Boom.
Up on this stage, then you can share that same message
yes,
to the audience.
Exactly.
That was so,
yeah.
so powerful.
Phone your mom, stay weird, stay different.
Yep. This,
and then Patricia Arquette's Women's Equity and Equality.
Yep.
The Mexican director who won for Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke to immigration fairness,
mm-hmm.
and John Legend spoke to civil rights.
Right.
And he said there are more black men in prison today than there were slaves.
I know. Wasn't that... It just blew my mind.
Uh-huh. And so sometimes it can either be a rally cry, stay weird,
yep.
or stay different. Sometimes it can be a shocking statistic,
yeah.
right? And sometimes, like...
They are incarceration nation.
Yes.
It is frightening.
Yes.
And
yeah.
we don't know because we're up here thinking our little world is safe and secure.
Mm-hmm.
And we, all we see is the American media
mm-hmm.
in which everybody's glamorous mm-hmm. and good looking and
mm-hmm.
slim.
So
we need to educate ourselves.
Yeah. And for me, normally I think the Oscars is, well, a giant fluff party. But if the audience, any portion of the audience got that message, I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, if one teenager stays weird and stays different,
yeah.
or if one single mom steps up to the plate and says, you're going to, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to take on this cause, or,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if one legislator realizes, oh my gosh, what have we done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's worse now than it was when slavery was legal,
yeah.
right? Slavery's always been horrible. It's just that sometimes it was legal.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will have been worth it.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great show. I thought it was the best show in a long time.
Interesting. Really. There's fewer viewers than there has
yeah.
been in a long
well,
time.
Well, it's harder to get. It's also not been a great year for the movies.
Yeah.
So it's harder and harder to get people out of their houses, right?
Yeah, true.
Because
technology's changing everything.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a reality.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And interestingly, like that our local...
Because you know why? Because we can sit in our underwear.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
But you know, our local Selmer Community Association, we are so lucky to have them.
Oh my goodness.
Because they offer a diversity of product
and
for one thing.
They're very engaged in different levels of interest, right?
Yeah.
They've done hockey games, they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have distributor obligations too, right? Uh-huh. And so they have to follow the rules, just like a lot of organization or, you know, theater groups. But they provide so much flexibility that the community can use it for, you know, presenting something, you know, like the 80s film festival.
Yes. And, you know, like, which just, is coming.
Yeah.
And Star Wars on the big screen.
Yeah. I know. There's so many opportunities. Yes. Provide. And then when you go to Kelowna or something to go to a movie, you realize how cheap it is here.
Yeah.
Like it was $57 for me and my two kids to go to the movie in Kelowna.
Ouch.
I know.
And then they wonder why we don't go.
Yeah. Well, here it's not doing like that. Great things to make sure it stays reasonable for families.
Right. And don't think of it as so what is it here? 12?
No, it's $9 for adults, $7 for youth.
Okay.
And then if it's Tuesday, it's $5.
Right.
You get the little surcharge if it's a 3D movie.
Yeah.
But that's it. But it's like $14 everywhere else.
And it over and above, what they make over and above ends up going back to the community.
Yes.
So I love that double punch.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if you can buy a product that has that community... corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
Also very big in the marketing and design world.
Yes.
We need to do more of it. Mm-hmm. I think.
We do. It's you know, we're in a situation right now where we're bombarded with messages. Mm-hmm. We thought it was bad in the 80s with billboards and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just gotten worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer enough to just get your message of your product out there. You have to actually be seen and be succeeding in making the world a better place.
Yes.
And that's where the real power is. Mm-hmm. It's no longer in just messages and color.
No, and it has to be really making the world a better place, not just saying you're making the world a better place, right?
It has to be actual success in
I mean, I think celebrity and Hollywood is, of course, it's a huge business, big industry, but the spokespeople were the winners at the Oscars.
Yeah.
And they exercise great corporate social responsibility, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, going right back to what we say, the power of public speaking means that you've got that moment.
Sing it, right?
Yeah.
Just like the Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Did you see Lady Gaga?
No.
Wow.
I didn't see the whole thing.
Lady Gaga did a tribute to Julie Andrews and the Sound of Music. It was mind-blowing.
Oh, wow.
She was wearing a ball gown. Her hair was down. Like, she didn't have any... None of that sort of alternative costume choices that she makes that she's legendary for.
Yeah.
She just looked like a girl singing a song. And wow, her voice stood out. I guess that's another thing is don't overthink it. You know, just be yourself.
Yeah. Because you're the only one that can be good at that.
So it's about, you know, genuine authenticity. Mm-hmm. Is that like an oxymoron?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a double positive.
Genuine, real, true authenticity.
Yeah. True authenticity.
As opposed to false authenticity.
How about just be authentic?
Yeah, totally.
And that's authentic. What makes you stand out. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to be like someone else, mm-hmm. you don't stand out.
Because mm-hmm. ultimately, you're telling a story.
Yeah.
And I think the stories, I think it's deeply ingrained in us as human beings to remember each other's stories.
Yeah.
Whether, again, cavemen stuff, right up to the UN.
Well, public speaking really is just storytelling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's storytelling that comes from inside, comes from your experience, your life, your knowledge.
Yeah.
It's just your story.
Right. And so often in business, we're engaged in very formal discussions and we use big words like stakeholder or engagement. And, right.
Yeah.
But even in business, if you're facing a particularly challenging thing, right, or you're trying to pitch a client or whatever, just tell your story. And be engaging. And you know what? If you're comfortable with it, use a bit of humor. I know that the jobs I've gotten, I've not gotten because my resume was better or my work was better. I got it because I had a better story.
Oh.
Right?
Interesting.
And it wasn't about price or product. It was about promotion. I said, this is my story. If you like the story, you'll like me. If you like me, we'll get it done.
Yeah.
And boom, there it is. Not everybody go. And who wants to work with people who don't like your story? Why would you want that aggravation?
Yeah.
So.
Well, ultimately, we're all after the same thing, right? And that's the connection.
Yes.
And so if you allow them to connect with you, they're like, they see things in you that are, you know, in common with mm-hmm. them, of course they're going to want to mm-hmm. connect and say, mm-hmm. oh, that's like what I experienced. Yeah. And that's like what I did exactly. when I was a kid. And
yes. So,
yeah.
And I mean, deep down, we're just looking for someone else, other stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, it's just aww. Such a warm, happy, heartwarming feeling.
The end.
Right?
And they all lived happily ever after, even in their underwear.
Yeah. And then there's always the challenge of how to finish public speaking.
Yes.
How to finish the speech.
Yeah.
And what I like to do at the end of when I do opening night remarks is I say one thing, and it was Patty Monroe who gave me this hint a few years back.
Oh, okay. Oh, awesome.
Because I never really knew how to finish. It was like, okay, carry
yeah,
on,
and so,
go eat,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
how do you finish? So I now put my fist in the air and I say, party on.
Party on. Okay.
Yeah, that was
okay,
Patty.
Wayne. Party on.
Anyway, I don't think we have time for local arts events
not
today.
Even.
We've partied on a little bit too long.
A little too long. But there are, yeah.
I will tell you, though, that yes. that our website is the place to find mm-hmm. arts events listed by date. If you click on participate mm-hmm. on the sidebar of salmonarmartcenter.ca, mm-hmm. you'll find a listing by date of all the things going on in the area. Well, at least as much as we can possibly get on there.
Yeah, and if you don't find your event listed, do get in touch.
Yeah, you can just email yes. it. It's very easy. And I want you to follow us on Facebook, Salmon mm-hmm. Arm Art Center. And I want you to follow me on Twitter.
Twitter. Oh, I got to tweet that.
You have to tweet the
B. We're talking the art of public speaking.
Don't be broccoli.
Now go forth and have a great week.
And party on.
And party on.
Thanks for joining Sawn Artscape this week. Enjoy the art of public speaking. Put yourself in front of an audience as often as possible.
Please.
Yes. And have a wonderful week.
Bye now.